Breaking news,
and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome to another great show. You're listening to The Expressway with your co-host, Charles Show Me The Way, here with my partner in crime, the BT Express, Billy Taylor. And Billy, we have a jam-packed show. Obviously, we are dealing with the Saquon Barkley drama. Will the Giants get Saquon Barkley signed in the next 2 weeks prior to training camp? All signs say that they will. Hopefully, they will. Saquon's camp, if you listen to all the information coming out of their camp, they're saying that they're pretty upbeat about something getting done, things coming out of Giants facility. They're upbeat. What do you think about it?
Well, see, the thing for me is that, you know, we've been talking about this for weeks, but the thing that really got to me yesterday was that, you know, there's not many all-pro running backs, and he's one of the top five running backs in the league. If you really think about it, he's the top two. You know, I don't really know who's number one. Is it the guy for Tennessee? Is it Christian McCaffrey? Who's number one? But Saquon is up there. And to be an all-pro running back, you got to be a big part of your team's success. And you know, for last year to have 1,300 yards rushing, lead the team in receptions with 300-some yards, over 1,600 yards, that's pretty incredible. And I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, I think that you and I have been sucked in a little bit by the demeanor of the running back getting that kind of money. But you think about it, man. If you think about all the years you blocked for Tiki, for some of the great running backs that you've blocked for, I think Saquon is right up there with any of the best.
He is. And when you kind of convinced me to come over from the dark side in management by telling me Saquon deserves everything he gets. And when you look at it a lot deeper, especially looking at what Christian McCaffrey did with San Francisco and digging deeper into his numbers, he didn't really play as many plays as Saquon did last year. I think Saquon played more plays per snap than Christian McCaffrey did. But Christian McCaffrey has so much of an impact every time he does get on the field and touch the ball. It makes his performance stand out that much more. And I think that's the difference between the two. The Giants relied on Saquon to take a lot of the pressure off of Danny Jones last year. And based off of that, just his importance to Danny Jones' development and growth, I think it's important that they bring him back. And I'm pretty sure that they'll get a deal done.
Yeah, but see, this is the maddest I've ever seen Saquon since he has been here. I mean, he's always been a team player. He congratulates anybody who does a good job. He's just a class guy. And look on his face when I see his interviews, you know, he feels that he deserves the money. I mean, think about what he did last year, led the Giants to the playoffs, which I didn't think in the previous 7 years anybody could do, but he stepped up big time. And the thing about it is that you want production. And the only time he did not have production was when he carried the ball 35 times. And the next game, he was too beat up to really perform as well. And you don't see people carrying the ball 35 times, 30-odd times now. So I think he totally deserves what he can get. And I think because he's in the New York market, he deserves a little more. But I don't think they think about that at all when you talk about money. But, you know, but then if you look at Danny Jones, that'll mess you up because him making $40 million and being the – we're going to talk about in the third quarter our top 15 or 16 quarterbacks that are starting now. And so Danny Jones, you know, we're going to see what number he turns out to be. But Saquon deserves it. The bad thing, though, and the good thing is that the Giants are going to have so many more weapons they're not going to have to rely on Saquon as much as they have in the past, and that could be positive for him.
Absolutely right. And talking about the Giants, even though the offense is an integral part of what the Giants do this season and how far they go, a lot of focus is on Danny Jones and Saquon Barkley, as well as that young receiving core that they have. Really, I think the telltale sign is going to be that defense. And this week we said we would take a look at the defensive line and seeing how the new additions of Deontay Banks in the secondary frees up the D line to kind of do a little bit more, to hopefully put more pressure on the quarterback, utilizing a lot more blitz schemes. When you look at last year's performance of that Giants defense, really, the focal point of that defense was Dexter Lawrence, and he deserved everything that he got this year, because without him, that defense would struggle because they didn't have an anchor in that offensive line. And as we always talked about over the past couple of weeks, it's the run game. They couldn't stop the run game. And if it wasn't for Dexter Lawrence being as stout as he was, I don't know where they would have been. They would have probably ranked dead last in the run game. And if they don't correct that this year, they're going to have a lot of problems, regardless of what the offense does.
I think that they're going to correct it this year. Last year, if you remember, they had an alumni day. And I didn't see you at that, but it was the first game of the season against Baltimore. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I was down on the field before the game, and Dexter Lawrence, I was standing next to him. He is gigantic. He one of the biggest guys maybe in the history of the New York Giants, CW. I mean, I was just blown away because they list him at about 340, but that day he looked about 365. So I have to give him a lot of credit because he's immovable on the defensive line. He does a great job against the run, and he deserved to be considered for Pro Bowl opportunity last year. So he's going to be a mainstay on the defensive line. I look for Leonard Williams to come back. He had an injury season last year, but, as good of an athlete as he's turned out to be, I look for him to be better. Kayvon
Thibodeau.
I think that he started the season slow, but came on strong. And those three right there with Dexter Lawrence and Williams and Thibodeau, I think, they got the formation of something that could be pretty special. And then you talked about it earlier when you have the number one draft choice, Deontay Banks, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's going to have less time to guard somebody on defense because the defensive line will be getting pressure. If Kayvon Thibodeau can do his thing, get off the ball, put pressure on the quarterback, that's going to make the whole defense better.
Yeah, I think that's the next evolution of Kayvon Thibodeau. When you look at every prognosticator, every opposing coach, hopefully that is the center point of the Giants' pressure. Obviously, you have Ojulari coming back another year older, hopefully more knowledgeable, more skilled, bigger, understands the game a little better, can be more consistent. Obviously, Ojulari, when we saw Azeez Ojulari, he showed up in spurts. He wasn't consistent. He would have one good game, one bad game, one good play, one bad play. And I'm looking for consistency now that this is his third year in the league. He should be a stalwart at that outside linebacker position, creating the type of pressure. It can almost be like having Lawrence Taylor on one side and Banksy on the other side, right? And creating that young guy, old guy mentality where I'm going to show you the ropes. I'm going to make you become a veteran, become a guy that learns, understands, and tries to learn the intricacies of the game so you can become a master at your field. And what it is pass rushing. Kayvon, everybody was mentioning that those two letters in comparison to what Kayvon was doing that one game. And they wanted to automatically anoint him as the next LT. Pump your brakes a little bit because he's young, and I still think he has a ways to go. And LTs only come around once a century. And so I don't know if we can compare him to LT. He had an LT-type game that one game, I forget what game it was where he picked up the fumble, got the sack, picked up the fumble, and scored a touchdown. But when you look at what Kayvon can do, it does add a little bit, add that dimension, that pass rushing dimension that allows, you know, Wink Martindale to not blitz as much in the secondary. So he can run a little bit of man zone type of scheme where you can have that extra guy defender roaming because you're getting great pressure from your front four or front five. But my opinion is that if we can shore up the back end, there'll be a lot more pressures that Wink Martindale is able to do given the way he schemes different teams, and it'll open up a lot of things for that defense.
Well, I'm really excited about the Giants defense, but a couple of weeks ago, you talked about there's only certain positions that can come in and do well early. We talked about running backs and wide receivers. From a defensive side of the ball, which defensive players can come in and get going early, just like the running back and the receivers? But can a linebacker like Kayvon Thibodeau, can he come in and create havoc as young as he is in his second year?
I think it's a little difficult because if you don't understand because offensive tackles in the league, especially some of the top offensive, look at Philly's offensive line in general. I mean, those guys are men, grown men. I played with Jumbo Elliott when he was, and those guys, they weren't as athletic as a lot of these guys are today, but they just knew the game, right? Look at some of the older guys that you played with. I mean, they just knew the game. And young bucks, they would just smack young bucks in practice, right? I see Jumbo, you know, again going against Michael when I first got here. Jumbo was going up against Michael, and it was like Michael couldn't do anything against Jumbo. And that was just because he was older and Michael didn't understand some of the technique that he learned over the years. And if you listen to Michael talk about John Runyon, right? John Runyon was one of those guys where he always had a tough game. It was like going against someone, and as no matter how skilled you are, there are certain guys in his league that if you don't have good technique or don't understand or have a game plan going against that guy, you won't be successful. And I think Kayvon Thibodeau is still young. He'll beat guys on his athletic ability. It's just his poor natural given ability. But at the end of the day, he has to get into the film room, look at film on his opponent, and figure out what's the best way to beat that guy across from him.
Well, since this is Kayvon's second year, do you expect more out of him because he understands the game and he knows what's going on? Or do you think it's going to take him another year to get going?
I'm excited. I'm cautiously optimistic that this year will be almost a breakout year, but it's only his second year, right? Your sophomore year isn't always your best year because you're living off of the excitement of what you did last year. And so I think you're a little bit overconfident. So if he can kind of quell that confidence and just stay focused on getting better each and every day, then I can get excited. But that sophomore slump, everybody talks about the sophomore slump. And I think the reason why people talk about the sophomore slump is because as a young guy coming in, you get so focused on all the great things you did, you don't focus on the little things that you need to do to get better. And if he can focus on the little things that he can do to get better, I think this will be an exciting year for him and the Giant defense as a whole.
Well, do you think that this Giant defense already has improved since last year? I know with Deontay Banks, they definitely have because he's a shutdown corner, and I think he's going to be matched against some really good people. But do you think this defense can be better than last year? I thought they bent but did not break, and they needed a few big play guys on there to be able to create some havoc on defense.
I hope so. Like I said, Leonard Williams was banged up, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that it was just a down year last year. Yep. And they just signed A'shaun Robinson from the Rams that could hopefully help beef up that interior that'll help against the run game that we've been talking about. And hopefully that what it's going to come down to if the Giants can stop the run. It's going to come down to, can Leonard Williams bounce back from a down year, and can A'shaun Robinson help solidify and support what Dexter Lawrence has done? Well, we'll get right back in a moment, but we're going to leave. We got a break for a minute for our sponsors, but we'll be right back to talk about the Jets and their defensive line. And welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. We're here live in NFL Alumni Media. Just check us out each and every week. We come to you every Friday. You can check us out on any of your local podcasts or YouTube. And so we just got finished talking about the Giants defense and their defensive line, how integral of a role that they're going to play into the success of the Giants getting into the playoffs. Let's now turn our attention to the Jets and their defensive line. Everybody's raving about their defense. The reason why the Jets have such high expectations is because the Jets defense was probably one of the best defenses in the National Football League last year. And there is no reason.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
For anybody to think differently, because they didn't have a lot of subtractions. They had a couple of young additions. I don't know how the couple of the players that they did draft will factor in to being an impact this year. I think those are young guys that may see time, but may not have an impact. But it's really basically like for the Giants. Can that defensive line continue to perform the way they perform? They did well against the run. I'm talking about when you look at the Jets pressure package, they were getting pressure from the front line, the linebackers, and the different blitzes. They didn't even have to blitz a lot because of the types of pressure they were getting from their defensive line. So when you look at their defensive line, do you see the same thing? Do you see the same excitement that everybody sees on about this defensive unit?
Well, see, the Jets really are putting all their eggs in one basket. They're going with that show Hard Knocks. That they get to be filmed every single moment there in the practice field. Their training camp is going to be, everybody in the world is going to see the training camp. But I think the whole difference, and Sauce Gardner, their defensive back, number one draft choice last year, is definitely one of the top five corners in the NFL. He's a shutdown corner, and he's always there when the ball's around. He's got a nose for the football. So if their defensive line can get any kind of pressure, it's going to allow the defensive backs to not have to cover as much. I agree with you about the excitement of the Jets. You know, it depends on who you talk to from the prognostication standpoint. They got people who are predicting them to go to the Super Bowl, to the AFC Championship. And I think it all comes down to, number one, their defense. Number two, Aaron Rodgers. Because if you look at what they did and look at this defense with Jermaine Johnson, he's a rookie last year, really helped put a lot of pressure and is really a really great pass rusher. And if they can get anybody to improve on that, I think the Jets are going to be legitimate, and it's going to be a fun year in New York, a fun year. And I'd look for the Jets defense to really get excited because they're going to turn the ball over to someone like Aaron Rodgers who can score at any moment. And I just think that it's going to put a lot more ease to their defense because they know they finally got an offense that can keep them off the field.
You're absolutely right. And unlike the Giants, I love their two inside interior linemen. You got Quentin Jefferson and Quentin Williams, who were the stalwarts of that Jets defense. And when you can eliminate a team's run game, especially now with the RPO game plan that offenses run constantly, where linebackers don't know whether to come up against the run or play back against the pass. You need linemen to say, you got to take care of the run option. And if you can take care of the run option, we'll take care of the pass option. So you don't have to get the linebackers too much involved in the run game because you got a defensive lineman that one offensive lineman can't handle. And that's what you have with Quentin Williams, Quentin Williams and Quentin Jefferson is like, you got two interior linemen that you got to double team them every step of the way, or they're going to create havoc on that run game, especially when you're trying to slow that rush down that the Jets defense has.
Well, see, the thing that I like is that you can't double team somebody. And if you do double team somebody, that other person is going to be one-on-one. I love the linebacker, C.J. Mosley. I think he's around the football a lot. I think when he's in there, they're a better defense. One question I was going to ask you is that, Ray Lewis, and you guys played him in the Super Bowl in 2000. They say he's one of the best linebackers to ever play the game. And the reason I disagree on that, he wore no thigh pads at all. And one of the reasons is because his defensive line was keeping people off of him. And the people say, well, he's better than, I don't think he's better than Harry Carson. And my reason is because Harry Carson had to take on the guard, sometimes take on the tackle, and the running back or the fullback who was the lead blocker. I never seen Ray Lewis take on anybody. And I think, he really got kind of lucky. I don't know if lucky is the word, that he played on the team that did a good job of not allowing him to get blocked. So he can go sideline to sideline. How many linebackers are around that can do that kind of thing that Ray Lewis did?
Yeah, it's not too many, but how many defensive lines can allow people like Ray Lewis? It's just really, if you look at the today's game, because it's so pass oriented, right? In our game, it was fullback, running back, two tight ends, and you run the ball down your throat. That's not the same game. And so you got safeties playing linebacker right now, whereas we talked about Ray Lewis with what, 245, 250? How many 245, 250-pound linebackers do you see in today's game? Very few, because you need to run. You need to be able to cover these athletic receivers, athletic tight ends that are always running routes, and you got to be able to cover them. And so you don't have those linebackers that weigh 300 pounds. You remember the kid from Pittsburgh that weighed 325? He should have been offensive. He should have been a guard. He was playing linebacker. I mean, you don't have those types of guys anymore. And I think that's how the game has changed. And if the teams that are able to adapt to that type of game, which the Jets have been able to, especially with C.J. Mosley. And don't forget, C.J. Mosley was able to play with Ray Lewis for a little bit when he was with the Baltimore Ravens. So he understands what it takes to be the type of linebacker that we're talking about.
Well, see, I like Quincy Williams, also their strong side linebacker. And the thing about it is that they're going to probably come in more well-rested than they have been in years. And that's because the Jets offense is going to be able to have long drives, and with their running back coming back. And I really love their running back, and they say he's looked good in preseason. His name is Breece Hall, along with Michael Carter. And I think that Breece Hall, he could have a super year because he's coming back from a knee surgery. But like I said, Saquon came back from a knee surgery. A lot of running backs have done so. And I think that's not as deep as it used to be. But I look for the Jets, their whole defense, to be much improved. And if they give them guys, like, for instance, the defense can come off the bench and be well-rested, they can come in and play like dogs. They can come in and just kick behind. And that's got to be one of the great feelings of playing professional football, is to come in not tired. Because think about it now. It doesn't happen to us very often, but as running backs, you and I, very few are we in there 18-play drives, 19-play drives. But the defense is. I'd be tired as heck, man, out there 19 plays. Especially a defensive back having to run almost 40 yards every single play. So I think the Jets are going to be in great condition on the defensive line. I think they're going to be excited. I think they're going to create havoc. And if the New York fans can get behind them, they may ride them all the way. But as we'll talk about later in our show, because in the third period, we're going to talk about the top 15 or 16 quarterbacks that are active. This really puts an emphasis on the Jets' offensive line and the offense itself, because if Aaron Rodgers you know, if he can stay healthy, we'll just say that. Because the last time they did this, they had Brett Favre. And I don't remember how long, many years ago was that. And he got hurt. If he hadn't got hurt, they may have made it to the Super Bowl because they were 8-3 when he got hurt. But I think Aaron Rodgers can lead the whole team. I mean, defensively, offensively, and special team-wise, to be better at what they do. Because sometimes you know that players, other players can make other players better. And I think Aaron Rodgers could be that person because he's not doing what he did in Green Bay, where in Green Bay he kind of let people do what they want to do, didn't get involved in the mini camps and the OTAs. And he's there every single practice explaining to the receivers what's he want. And I think that's going to make for an outstanding year for the Jets. And I'm really excited. And whether even if the it would be fun, which has never been talked about, the Giants and Jets play each other in the Super Bowl. I don't think that's possible, but I do think that for the first time in a long time, it's something to think about.
It is. It's exciting to think about. You got two New York teams that have the potential to compete for a championship in their respective conferences. That's exciting in itself. But I think that's what's driving the excitement in the New York area. I think there's still more excitement on the Jets end than the Giants end because the Giants have a lot more holes, albeit fewer, than the Jets have a lot more holes than the Jets. And so that's why it's so much more excitement. And like I said, when you look at a defense, Coach Fox always told me that if I would rather always have a best defensive, I would rather have the greatest DBs on my team than the greatest D linemen, because if I got good DBs on my team, I can pressure every down because I know they can lock down. They can go man to man, lock down receivers, and I can send the kitchen sink at these guys. And so what the Jets have and what the Giants are building is that they got a solid secondary core where now you just solidify the D-line that's already solidified, bringing these young guys. They can grow, develop, and mature at their own pace. And then they can have a consistent, great defense for years to come based on their drafts.
And the great thing is that both the Giants and the Jets, from a defensive standpoint, have a lot of young players. And the thing about that, young players bring excitement. They bring an attitude. And I think that the Jets already are confident in what they did because of last year. Because if they hadn't had Zach Wilson there, they may have made the playoffs. So I'm looking for Aaron Rodgers to manage the game. And the only thing I worry about is the AFC East, because the Jets probably have at least a harder schedule as the Giants do in the first six or seven games, because you know they open up with Buffalo and they play a lot of good teams during the course of the year. And I think it's just going to be a tough situation, for them to – they got to get out of there at least, you know, with a 5-3 record to go in the second half so they can be able to get better and start winning some games. But – it's going to be exciting to watch him. It's going to be the whole team is going to be exciting. I'm looking for the defensive team to get more recognition from around the NFL because of them coming in, like I said before, well-rested. So I'm anxious for both teams because we both have young defenses on the Giants and the Jets, and it just depends on what the offenses can do to help the defense out. All right, well, we're talking about the Jets and the Giants defenses that they have, their defensive line we've concentrated on. When we come back in our third quarter, we do this in three quarters, we're going to talk about the top 15 or 16 quarterbacks that are active now and kind of give them a rating. You know, who's number one? Is it Pat Mahomes? Is it Joe Burrow? So we'll do that and then we'll...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
We'll get back with you in a minute, so don't touch that dial. We're back with more on the Expressway after these messages. And we're back on the expressway. We call this the expressway because Charles Way came up with the name. His name is Charles Way. Charles, show me the way, because he led the fullbacks and the halfbacks into the hole. If they just followed him, they usually got positive yardage. They call me the BT Express. I'm the co-host. And the good thing is we call it the expressway. And we're on every single week. Got a bunch of different places we're on. And we try to concentrate on the Jets and the Giants. And then the third quarter, we try to come up with something a little bit different. And then the fourth quarter, we talk NBA hoops. And now we're going to talk about the top 15 or 16 quarterbacks, and we're going to go from the bottom up. And just to list them all for you, we got Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Pat Mahomes, Geno Smith, Dak Prescott, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Tua of Miami, Danny Jones, and Aaron Rodgers. And so, Charles, just give me the bottom one, the bottom five. We're going to go on that, and I'll give you my bottom five. You brought up to me Kyler Murray earlier in the day, and I just think he's stealing money.
Well, like I said last week, everybody has been talking very highly about what he's been doing in minicamp and OTAs. And so Arizona, people out in Arizona, coaching staff are excited about his professionalism and his attention to detail out there. And he is a dynamic player. Don't get me wrong. The guy is dynamic, right? You can't take that away from him. It's just that I think his lack of size and visibility to the entire football field kind of hinders how far or how great he could potentially be. But if he has a great season, if they can move him around the pocket, I think Kyler Murray is an honorable mention. How about this other guy before we get to our list? What do you think of Baker Mayfield in Tampa and that offense?
Well, see, it's tough for me to get away from my prejudice. And see, Baker Mayfield went to Texas Tech and got hurt. And then transferred to Oklahoma, where he won the Heisman. And then it opened up for Pat Mahomes to come in. And Baker Mayfield talks more trash than one of them radio stations and hasn't been able to back it up. He comes into the NFL, gets all these commercials, and hadn't done a thing. He's already with his third team already. And so I just think that, you know, maybe it's a maturity level for him. I don't know, but that's a good choice on you, because I didn't have him on my top 15.
But that's what I'm saying. There are a lot of guys that I think that are in our top 16, top 17 that will probably fall out because of what they do this year. Because think about this. Mac Jones, even though he's consistent, he doesn't screw up, right? So Mac Jones isn't in there. And look at what Brock Purdy did for San Francisco. Yep. And everybody's been raving about Jordan Love. Especially in that offense, is he the next heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers? Right? You talk about Jordan Love too. So, and then you even got Jimmy G with the Raiders, and right. And so, you really don't know. And don't forget, he's back with his offensive coordinator that made him the star that he became when he was with New England.
Yep.
And so. So that's a good combination. So when you look at the totality of it, I guarantee you a lot of the 16 that we talk about will probably be out of the 16. And some of the guys we just talked about as honorable mentions should be up in there. Like Danny Jones, the jury is still out. I'm not sure I'll put him at 15. Since he's a Giant, I got to put him in the top 15, and he's probably my number 15 pick. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with you being him number 15. And the reason is I think he's thrown the least touchdown passes of all these people. And you think about it, I got about 17 or 18 because you reminded me of Baker Mayfield, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jimmy G. That's a lot of other people. So we're talking – this is probably the most quarterbacks that have a chance to be good, probably in the history of the NFL. They got so many good quarterbacks. And the only reason I said that Kyler Murray was stealing because he got hurt at the end of last year, signed a big multi-year contract, and they say he might be a little bit hurt going into the season. I'm not certain, but if he's not there, that you know he's unavailable. And his coach last year and it was a coach at Texas Tech, and I didn't like him at Texas Tech. So he didn't do anything for Kyler last year. So I'm anxious to see where that goes. But one of the other ones that I was thinking about was Deshaun Watson, who was playing with Cleveland.
That's right.
He didn't have a good year last year because he had been out 2 years. Does he make a comeback this year? So there's a lot of questions that can be answered this year from the quarterback position. And as they have shown us through the economical standpoint, the quarterbacks are the mainstay of a team.
We just talked about five or six that it wasn't even in your top 15, yeah. 16 that you just and all five of the people or six of the people that we just talked about could probably replace half the people in our list. Yeah. Like I think we're giving Geno Smith too much credit, right? By even ranking him in the top 15. He had a great I'm not taking anything away from Geno Smith. He had a great season last year. But come on now. It's still Geno Smith, right? I just don't know if he's a top 15 quarterback. I don't know if he is a quarterback that can take a team to the Super Bowl. And that's what I'm going to kind of base my opinion on the top 10. Now, top 15, I'll go that you can make my 15. But the top 10, you have to be a quarterback that I believe that you can take your team to the Super Bowl. And I don't think Geno Smith has the it to take his team to a Super Bowl, no matter how good they are.
Well, see, last year was his best year in all of his 10 years. And you wonder, is he maturing late or does he have a good coaching staff in Seattle? Because he played with the Jets, didn't do anything, played with the Giants, ended Eli Manning's play game streak that he had, which I thought was a terrible move by the Giants. And he didn't show me anything either time, but he led Seattle to the playoffs. So that's why you had to give him a point, because anytime a quarterback leads you to the promised land, you got to have potential on him. I agree with he hadn't been that good, but maybe he's a late bloomer. And sometimes quarterbacks are like that because you think of in the past, they make quarterbacks sit down for a year or two. Pat Mahomes had to sit behind a quarterback in Kansas City for a year before he played. There's a number of quarterbacks that did that. So I'm interested to see, is he a late bloomer? Another thing is Dak Prescott of the Cowboys. Is he overrated? He led the NFL in interceptions. And I just think, and I've told you from a long time ago, Charles, that if a quarterback doesn't make a mistake with the interceptions or turnovers, you got a chance to win the game.
I love your Dak Prescott assessment, but the flip side to that is Jared Goff. He went from the outhouse to the White House. Because I'm serious. He went from being a dog at Los Angeles where they couldn't give him away to now being a franchise quarterback with the Detroit Lions. The games that he's played for the Lions toward the end of last year, I'm talking about that's almost Pro Bowl caliber type of quarterback in that he showed us towards the end of last year. And so where did that guy come from?
Well, what's incredible right now is that you give me six people. You're talking about Baker Mayfield, Mac Jones, Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Jimmy G for the Raiders, Jared Goff. I mean, that's not even in my top 15. And I just think that's pretty incredible because at any moment you can step out from a quarterback position and lead your team to victory. Jared Goff is a perfect example of that. I think Detroit Lions are going to be good this year. And sometime later, as we get toward the season, we'll analyze all the conferences. But I would see Detroit being in there also, you know, leading the team to the playoffs. But what about Derek Carr of New Orleans?
I'm not a fan. I think he's probably behind Danny Jones. So if you had to, I would flip Derek Carr and Danny Jones because I have more confidence in Danny Jones than I do Derek Carr based on what he had with the Raiders the last 3 or 4 years. Coming off an exciting year where he took the team to the playoffs and won a game in the playoffs and then having a terrible year the next year. So when you see that dynamic play out, I don't have a lot of confidence in Derek Carr, and he wouldn't even be in my top 15 based on his performance.
I totally agree with you now that you named them other six or seven. What about Kirk Cousins of Minnesota? Are they lost to the Giants in the playoffs?
He's another one. I wouldn't put him in my top 15 because I don't even think he gives you a chance to make it to the Super Bowl. He's done it. He's proven that he couldn't do it. Washington, Minnesota, all had great teams. All were playoff teams. All were supposed to win in those playoff games, the matchup. Don't forget the Giants last year and Minnesota. And we talked about it. Minnesota in Minnesota, Giants had no business of winning that game. But I told you, be careful, watch out, because I've been looking at some glaring holes that Minnesota had, and Giants went in there and beat them. And so when you look at quarterbacks like that, if you want to be an elite level quarterback, you have to give your team a chance to win games and to take your team to the Super Bowl. And I don't think Kirk Cousins is that type of guy for me.
What about Tua of Miami? Because they say he's taking martial arts this summer to help him to learn how to fall. And that talks to me about your guy, Joel Embiid of the 76ers. He falls down too much. And they say he played soccer, so that's the reason. But if you're 7 feet and falling down, you got to be careful. And see, Tua, he looks – ever since college, he's looked very fragile. And you got to be able to protect him. And the thing about it, if they don't protect him, Miami doesn't do anything this year. They got maybe, arguably one of the top talented teams from an offensive standpoint, with Hill and Waddy. They got a good team. So does he stay around to allow them to blossom? That's a question I have about him.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
I love Tua. I think he gives them a chance to at least do some damage in the playoffs. I think he can manage a game. I don't think he's the best quarterback out of the group that we talked about. I don't even know if he's in the top eight of the quarterbacks we talk about. He just understands how to manage a game. He does have a leadership presence about him when he's on the field. How about Matt Stafford? He went from Super Bowl champion to what in the heck are we doing here, right? I mean, and it could be just a whole bunch of things going on, but the Rams kind of mortgaged their future to win that Super Bowl.
Yeah,
think about it. They brought in a bunch of old guys because they knew that they had a window, and that window was now. And I just don't know if the Rams will be any good in the near foreseeable future. And that's going to reflect poorly on Matt Stafford, I believe.
Well, see, he ended the year hurt on injury reserve. And I think that anytime a quarterback hurts his arm, you got to be concerned somewhat. And but I think, and it's probably because I'm a little bit prejudiced again because of Texas Tech, but I think Pat Mahomes is arguably one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers up there. I think Joe Burrow of Cincinnati, got to give him credit for being there. Don't know what Russell Wilson's going to do in Denver. He had a terrible year last year. Josh Allen of Buffalo, I think he's a tough quarterback, but maybe since Dable's not there, he's not able to perform at the level he wants to be at. So it's going to be interesting. And Justin Herbert of the LA Chargers, I think he's one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. He's led his team to 10 or 11 victories and didn't make the playoffs. So who's your top five as we get ready to go to the break?
Yeah. Is Jalen Hurts in your top five?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so when you look at your top five, obviously Patrick Mahomes is number one. I think Joe Burrow is probably Smooth Joe is probably number two. I think you just because of what he did last year, Jalen Hurts is number three. I think Justin Herbert is probably right in there because of what he can do. And then Aaron Rodgers, you got to put the vet. Tom Brady isn't there anymore. Aaron Rodgers is probably the probably should be, could potentially be number two if he comes back this year. But that's my top five.
What about Lamar Jackson? Now, he didn't finish the last two seasons. He's one of the highest paid people in the NFL. He's a double threat. Where do you put him?
I remember what my criteria for top 10 is. You got to get me to a Super Bowl. He has yet to get his dynamic team to a Super Bowl, and he's had like three or four opportunities to do it. And so until he proves to me that he can get his team to a Super Bowl, I don't know. But hold on to that thought. We're going to go into our next segment in the fourth quarter. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back. Talk about the new rules in the NBA and talk about what you think about the NBA tournament. But we'll be right back in a moment. Welcome back to the Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, here with the BT Express, Billy Taylor. You're listening to NFL Alumni Media. Always, always bringing you exciting news, Giants, Jets, all other sports that is happening, as well as NBA basketball. This week, the NFL commissioner announced that the NBA is starting the NBA tournament this year. And Billy, when I heard about the NBA tournament, I was like, are you kidding me? Adding more games to a season that nobody plays the entire season already? And I'm like, what are we doing? And so when you look at adding a tournament to an already lengthy schedule where guys are already sitting out, how many teams do you think will actually be playing their top guys in this tournament?
Well, I heard that they're giving each person $500,000 to play in the tournament. And I think that that may be an incentive, but then if you're making 35 or 40 million, I don't know if that's an incentive for you. But I like the NBA's thinking process. They're trying to change up the game. The season definitely lasts too long. There are 82 games. They say, well, if you play 65, then you can be available for either all NBA or Rookie of the Year or defensive player of the year, but you cannot get that unless you play in 65 games. So I agree with that. But what I was hoping they would do was cut down the schedule, because once the pandemic came up, they cut down it to 72. And I think they had a good season doing that. I think you're wearing people out at 82 games. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that, with the NBA, having all these European players, I think you got to lessen the season somehow, because the tournament comes in. And I was thinking about, the season ends sometime in June. If you're out of the playoffs, you're probably out by April. So you got May, June, July, August, September to rest if you don't make the playoffs. But more than half of the teams make the playoffs. And how are they going to seed this tournament when they, I think it starts in November, December. How are they going to seed this when they get ready to do it?
Yeah, so they already came out with the different brackets. So it was Every team was placed in a pool, so they tried to make it based on where you finished last year, and so the brackets are out. We can go over those next week, but the critical factor that I see is that they're not even limiting back to back games. So when you're playing in this tournament, when they have this tournament, they're trying to make it a front end of a back to back. So you may have a team that may not even be playing their stars the first game of the tournament because of a back-to-back, and depending on the opponent. So it's really defeating the purpose, right? There really isn't any type of carrot, per se, that a team gets outside of the money that would make any coach or any athletic training staff change the way they're thinking about it, because I'm not – It's just an average game. I may be losing out on $100,000, $500,000, but that's it. And so I'm going to work towards the NBA championship as opposed to an extra few bucks in my pocket.
Well, what would you think about LeBron? Because of his age, he'll be 39 pretty soon, going into his 21st season. What do you think about him resting during the tournament and not playing at all? Or some of the veteran players that have been around a number of years, CJ, from who played with Phoenix now. Maybe he should rest because he gets hurt at the end of the season. James Harden, who's a least clutch player that I have seen in a long time, doesn't come through. Maybe he should rest. But maybe they should do it for certain players and not do it for everybody. I don't know what the incentive for LeBron James would be.
Yeah, I don't think there is an incentive for guys like that. And I especially teams with aspirations to win the NBA championships, they're still going to prioritize health as opposed to winning, especially in early December, November, December, because that doesn't even have an impact on what happens in March, April, May. You just said the season, if you're lucky or fortunate enough to get to the semifinals or finals of an NBA season, that takes you all the way up until May, June. And so why am I, if a guy may be coming off of an injury or may have a tweak, why am I going to push him out there to win a tournament that has no bearing or an impact to me winning a championship?
So are you saying that you don't think this is going to work in the NBA, or you think they're going to have to go to a new type of situation, or do you think it's going to wear people out?
I think it has a chance to work. I think the way they're going to do it is they're not extending the season. They're adding this tournament into the season. So it's still 82 games, hopefully much more. It's supposed to be more intense of an atmosphere because you are playing for something. But I just, like I said, teams will always prioritize winning a championship than winning a tournament. Yeah, it's great to have a trophy, but it's not the same as soccer. Soccer is broken up into segments, and this is where he got this from. And if you break it up into segments, you got the Premier League, you got another league. And so there is incentive to win, because if you win the Premier League, you stay in the Premier League. If you're the bottom couple of teams, you're out, right? And so you have an incentive to win these tournaments, because if you win a certain tournament, you get into the Premier League or you get into this other league. Whereas if you lose, you're out. Whereas the NBA, there is no incentive for somebody to win or lose in the tournament, but money. And until you incentivize it, and I don't know what that incentive could be, but until you incentivize it, it's just another game.
Well, do you kind of equate this to the NFL? Because the NFL went to 17 games, and you know any minute they're going to go to 18 games because it's got to be balanced out. And they did it pretty slickly because they did it one at a time. So it looks like it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, in my 7 years of playing, I never made it through 16 games because, you know, you always have to rest a game because you might have a little bit of a bruise here, especially from a running back position. So I don't know if that will help the NBA at all. And the reason I looked at it, because last year they went way into June in the playoffs. And I think there's some that they play harder in the playoffs. It seemed like they played better defense and the guys were more excited to play. I don't know how you do that at a tournament in November when your season starts probably late October, November. Then how do you get fired up to play in a tournament that starts in November or December? So that's what I'm concerned with. They're going to have to make some adjustments somewhere, and I just don't know where they could do it because you need players to perform.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, even the commissioner said it's going to take some time for guys to buy in, for organizations to buy in. It may end up being a great situation for the league. And so I'm hopeful that it is a meaningful part of the season. Everybody, you know, I think the NBA should focus on Christmas, the Christmas games, making that lineup the best it could be, because everybody's watching it. It was really outside before. That was the only show on that day. Now the NFL is playing on Christmas and so you got a lot of competition. But NBA basketball on Christmas is like NFL football on Thanksgiving. That was where you stopped eating and you watched a good game of basketball. And I'd rather enjoy a great Christmas Day game than a tournament game where you got let's say Milwaukee Bucks playing against some lowly team, the Houston Rockets. I mean, I don't have any excitement in watching that game. I don't care how what it's for. It just doesn't stimulate me. But I have two other questions before we have to go. I know we're running up against the time. But how do you like the two rule changes? The one flopping, they're going to give technical fouls for flopping, just like, you know, 3-second rule. So you don't get thrown out the game if you get a technical, but you get a technical foul for flopping. And then they're giving the coaches two challenges instead of one.
I like the two challenges instead of one because, you know, from a coach's standpoint, things can happen during the course of a game where you need to do it. The only thing about it, you need to decide when you're going to do it. Do you save it for later or do you do it, you know, when it happens? I like the rule changes that, and they're trying to be creative in the NBA. They have to be because they're getting better players, you know, from Europe. They're getting a lot of more competitive situations. There's more of a situation where you don't know who's going to win the championship. I mean, since Golden State won two in a row, and that was a few years back, nobody's come close to doing it. And just wanted to ask you about, you know, some of the players, like they were talking about Zion Williamson of the Pelicans getting traded, and he's been unavailable. He's another one of those guys, and I shouldn't say it, but, you know, when you don't play in the NFL, they call it stealing. And I think that Zion Williamson has stole money. He hadn't made it through any type of NBA season and got a max contract.
I think the problem is from the concern is what is the concern that everybody had when he first came into the league, his weight. I think he's too big for the game. Playing on that court, his body cannot handle that running up and down, the way he jumps and has explosive. I don't think his body can take all of that action that he puts on. And so that's his issue, is can his body hold up for an entire season based on just his natural muscle build? And he's not, and from what everybody's talking about, he doesn't really particularly pay attention to his diet anyway. Yep. And so when you don't pay attention to your diet, knowing that you have a body that's almost Charles Barkley-esque, and Charles always tells the story about how Moses said, boy, you're not in shape. You better start running. The first thing you need to do is get into shape. And so those are some of the things that you have to pay attention to when you're looking at talking about Zion.
Now, what about James Harden? Because they say that he's mad the 76ers for I guess, because he got less money than he was supposed to help out other players. And then the 76ers not coming to him for more money. The thing about him is I think he got Doc Rivers fired. And I think that he's not a clutch player. And I think that, you know, for him, you don't know which team he wants to be with, because every other year he wants to be traded.
Yeah, but which team wants him? I mean, what team really out there would want him? And everybody was talking about the Knicks. Why would you want him on the Knicks when you got Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, who had a great year last year? Absolutely. And they were excited about what they were doing last year. So why would you bring him in to kind of mess up that chemistry? So when you look at all of that, I just don't know where he goes. I think Chicago may be a good, because the ball kid is out for the year. Yep. So I don't know what you do with James Harden. He might be able to go to Chicago and help them out and do something in Chicago, but he wants to be back in California and on one of those teams. And he could potentially go to the Clippers, which it would be good, but who do the Clippers have that the Sixers want?
That's a good point. Victor Wembanyama, the rookie from San Antonio, his first game he didn't do as well. People were talking about he's a bust. Second game he come out, he hits 27 points, 12 rebounds, and looked more relaxed than he did before. And I still think he's going to be one of the best because he's fundamentally sound.
He's Tim Duncan. I think he's a combination of Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. I mean, yeah. Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. I think he's more along the lines of, if you want to, size-wise, Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett was athletic, could dribble the basketball, could do a lot of different things, but he has that maturity, that old man's game of a Tim Duncan. So Tim Duncan had that old man's game. And so he's not as flashy. Kevin Garnett was flashy and dynamic, right? So he's not that, but he's a mix between Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan.
Last one, Dame Lillard. Is he going to get out of Portland?
He's going to try, but just like LA Clippers don't have much to give, the Heat, where he wants to go, don't have much to give. And why would you want Tyler Hero? They're making Tyler Hero look out to be the next Michael Jordan. That man can only shoot. He can't do anything else. And when you D him up, he is shut down. You can't shut down a Dame Lillard. You can't shut down a Jimmy Butler. So he's not a star, and they're making him out to be a star. Tyler Hero is Tyler Hero. He is a Robin at best, and he is not a star of your team.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I always have to thank Ben back at the studio because Ben goes out of his way to make us sound good, and I don't know how he does it. But for Charles Way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Billy Taylor. This has been The Expressway. Have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you next week.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.